The Busy Persons, 5 books, 5 short shows, 5 honest ideas from a 5-book series that says, gently, you're carrying too much and it isn't your fault. This is the on-ramp. Too busy to read all 5? Start here. 5 minutes per show. 1 book, 1 idea worth your morning coffee. For the woman folding laundry at midnight and wondering if anyone notices. For the guy whose calendar is full and whose phone, somehow, is quiet. For the friend who used to bring soup and now barely makes it to the front porch. For everyone who feels, somewhere deep down, like the structure around them just slipped. Every show is checked, every claim, every story, before it ever reaches you. So pour the coffee. Here's the part that matters. Episode 2, The Doubts. 3 little voices show up the moment you try to give. Is this just nostalgia? Will I be used? I don't have time. Us. In 5 minutes, plain answers, no spin. Here we go. Here's something I'd bet money on. Somewhere in the last episode, when I said, your tiredness isn't your fault. It's the shape of your life that got broken. A part of you wanted to believe it. And a louder part of you said, nice idea, but not for me. And it had reasons. 3 of them, probably, fired off in about 4 seconds flat. Isn't this just a sweet old daydream about the good old days? People will only use me if I open up. And the big one, I don't have time for one more thing. If you thought any of those, good. You're not being difficult. You're being smart. Book 2 is the one written for exactly the person who just said no in their head. It doesn't pat you on the shoulder and tell you to feel it anyway. It rolls up its sleeves and argues with you, out loud, doubt by doubt. So let's do that. 3 doubts. 3 honest answers. And you decide. First, a quick word about how Book 2 even works, because it's not what you'd expect from a book like this. It doesn't sit you down and lecture. It puts you in a room full of people who disagree with it. Book 1 made the case. Book 2 drags that case into a room and lets the doubters take swings at it, out loud, no holding back. There's a character in there, a sharp old woman who's heard every pitch under the sun, and her whole job is to poke holes. She doesn't want you to feel good. She wants to know if it's true, and honestly, that's the only kind of argument worth trusting. Anybody can write a book where everyone nods along. A book that goes and finds its loudest critics and answers them anyway. That's a book that thinks it can win. So that's the spirit here. We're not going to dodge your doubts or shame you for having them. Your doubts are the smartest thing about you right now. Let's give them the fight they deserve. Doubt 1, and the best person to raise it is May. May is 24. She works from a laptop in a city where she knows, honestly, almost nobody. She is, in her own words, far too online. And when she hears all this talk about close circles and people who show up for each other, she rolls her eyes a little. Isn't this just nostalgia? Old folks wanting some golden days world back? A world that, by the way, was probably never as cozy as they remember. And here's the thing. May is half right, and her being half right is the whole point, because May never had the close circle to miss. You can't be homesick for a place you've never lived, so when she pushes back, she's not protecting some memory. She's pointing at a hole in her actual life, right now, today, which means this can't be nostalgia for her. There's nothing back there to long for. It's not about going back. It's about building, forward, a thing. A huge number of people, May included, simply never got handed in the first place. And before we leave this one, let me hand you one small piece of real-world backing, just enough to know it isn't only a warm feeling. Researchers who study families noticed something they didn't expect, and they gave it a name, the grandmother hypothesis. The plain version is this. In a lot of families, when a grandma is close by and part of daily life, the grandkids tend to do better. Not in a sappy way, in measured ways, the kind you can actually track. A close older person in a child's everyday world turns out to be one of the quiet supports a young life leans on. Now sit with what that means for May's doubt. If having close people around actually shows up in the numbers, if it's not just a feeling but something you can see, then a world without those close people isn't the natural, modern, sophisticated way to live. It's a support that quietly went missing. So May's right that the past wasn't perfect, but the close circle she never had, that wasn't a fairy tale. It was load-bearing, and you can build load-bearing things on purpose. Doubt 2. And this one comes from Jake, who's standing toward the back with his arms folded, and I want you to like Jake, because Jake might be the most honest person here. Jake's been burned. He gave someone the benefit of the doubt once, gave more than he should have, watched them take it and walk. So when he hears, give first, every alarm in him goes off. Give first? That's just signing up to be the doormat everybody wipes their feet on. People will use me. And Jake is not wrong that some people only take. They exist. Pretending they don't is exactly how good people get drained dry. So book two does not tell Jake to fling his door open and hope. Here's what it tells him instead. Give small first. Small enough that it costs you almost nothing either way. A hand, a few minutes, a name passed to the right person. You're being generous, genuinely, but you're not handing anyone your whole self on day one. And then you just let things go at the speed they go. Closeness builds at the pace it earns. Jake gets to stay open and generous, one, without making himself a target. Now I have to be careful here, because there's a cheap version of this answer that I want to throw out before it sneaks in. The cheap version says, give small so you can test people, set a little trap, see who bites, catch the takers. And no, that's not it. And that matters. If you give in order to find out something about somebody, you're not really giving. You're running a check on them, and people feel that. And it poisons the whole thing. Give first is generous, full stop. You give the small thing because giving it is good, and you'd be glad you gave it even if nothing ever came back. That's the whole heart of it. Here's the part that's true, but you don't aim for it. When you live like that, openly, generously, in the light, you do, over time, quietly learn who your people really are. Not because you are testing. Because takers and givers both just show themselves eventually when things are out in the open. That's a gentle side effect of living generously. It is never the reason you gave. Give because giving is good. Let the rest reveal itself on its own. Doubt. 3. And this is the big one, the one that's probably loudest in you right now, and it's the most reasonable of the three. I don't have time. My days are already full to the brim. You're telling me to add relationships, a circle, people, on top of everything? I can barely keep up with the life I've got, and I want to honor that completely, because you're not lying. You really are out of room. But here's the reframe. Book two hands you, and it's the one that changes everything. A real circle of people is not one more thing on your list. Oh, a real circle is the thing that takes things off it. Think about it honestly. Right now, when something breaks, you handle it. When someone needs a ride, a meal, a hand, a hard conversation, you, alone. That's not a full life. That's a full list with no one to share it. The few hours a real circle asks of you up front aren't an extra chore. They're the down payment on every load you stop carrying by yourself. It doesn't add to the pile. Give it a little time, and it starts carrying the pile. Step back a second, because something neat just happened that's easy to miss. Three different doubts, nostalgia, getting used, no time, and notice they all broke the same way. Each one assumed that closeness is a luxury, a nice to have. Something you'd add if only life were calmer, kinder, less full. May thought it was a memory you indulge. Jake thought it was a risk you take. You thought it was a chore you don't have room for. And the answer, all three times, was the same underneath. Closeness isn't the luxury. Closeness is the missing support that was holding the rest of it up. It's not the cherry on top of a good life. It's a beam that got pulled out, which is exactly why everything's been sagging. Once you see it that way, the doubts kind of flip inside out. You can't afford to skip it, because it's the thing that makes the rest affordable. You don't have time not to. And the risk of getting used? That's real, and small steps handle it. But it's a tiny risk next to the slow, quiet cost of going through your whole life carrying everything alone. All right, let's make this about you, because it stops mattering the second it's only about May and Jake. So, quietly, honestly, which of the three was yours? Not which one sounded smartest, which one actually went off in your chest? Maybe it was May's, a little voice saying, "This whole thing is soft, sentimental, not for someone as clear-eyed as me." Maybe it was Jake's, that flinch, that I've been burned, I'm not getting used again. Or maybe, most likely, it was the time one, the bone-deep certainty that you simply cannot fit one more thing, that you'd love to, but you're already past full. There's no wrong answer, and you don't have to fix all three. Real change almost never comes from arguing with all your doubts at once. It comes from picking the one that's loudest and giving it one gentle nudge. So just name it, the one that's loudest for you. Say it to yourself plainly. Because the smallest possible move against your loudest doubt is worth more than agreeing with everything I've said and changing nothing. And that small move is where we're going next. So here's your one small thing this week, and it's a give. Because the whole point is that you don't argue your way out of a doubt, you give your way through it. Take the doubt you just named and do the smallest, generous thing that pokes a tiny hole in it. If yours was the nostalgia, one, that this is all soft and not for you, then go make one real, present tense connection this week. Not for old time's sake, just reach out to one person you'd actually like to know better and offer them something small and good. Proof, today, that this isn't a daydream. If yours was Jake's, people will use me, then give one small thing freely to one person and notice this, you give it because it's good to give. Not to test anyone, you'll be fine, the thing was small on purpose. And if yours was the time one, here's the give that surprises people. Let someone do something for you this week. Ask one person for one small bit of help and accept it. Letting someone give to you is its own kind of generosity. It hands them the gift of being needed. Whichever doubt is loudest, the move is the same shape. One small give, this week, aim straight at it. Not to prove me right. To find out for yourself. So that's book two, not a book that begs you to believe, but one that respects you enough to fight fair. Three doubts, three honest answers. Isn't it just nostalgia? No, you can't long for what you never had, and what you never had turns out to be load-bearing. Won't people use me? Some might, so you give small and stay generous, and you let who's real reveal itself without ever hunting for it. I don't have time. You don't have time not to, because a real circle is what takes things off your list, not what piles on. And if one of those doubts is still standing in you, arms folded, unconvinced, good, bring it along. The book takes on far more than three, and it never asks you to switch off the smartest part of yourself. If any of this held up for you, the whole story's in the book, and the book goes a great deal deeper. Coming up next, Book 3, for everyone who's still giving and giving and quietly running dry, How Do You Give Without Burning Out? Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there. You've been with The Busy Person's 5 Books, the on-ramp series for the rest of us. Next time, Book 3. Give Without Burning Out. The shape of giving that actually fills you instead of draining you, and why the difference is not the amount, it's the shape. If today landed, the give first thing to do is small. Pick one of the 3 doubts that sounded most like you and say it out loud to one person you trust. Not the answer, the doubt. That alone is a give. It gives them permission to name theirs. The whole story, of course, is in the book. It's right there whenever you're ready. Written and produced by GMA Daisy Inc. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.